And I'm not kidding when I tell you, my friend, that I have great joy and blessing in talking to you about the things of Christ. The more I think of the loveliness of the Savior and of the wonderful grace, tenderness, and long-suffering he has to usward, how I long that my life and your life might be such that the people around us will know something of the Savior who gave himself for us. You know, it's so easy to do the wrong thing, isn't it? As we said in our program yesterday, where Paul says, put away lying and speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. I wish we Christians could realize that when we hurt the other brother, we're hurting ourselves. That when we lie and deceive, we're not only hurting our own character and affecting the testimony of the gospel and bringing dishonor upon the Savior, but my friend, it has a reaction on yourself. You're just robbing yourself of spiritual blessing and joy and peace and power. So let's obey the exhortation. It's the very first one about the things we should not do. Wherefore, put away lying. Let's stop and do these things. And then in verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. I'm reading Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 25, 26, 27. Let's just take those three verses for a moment. We've been talking about verse 25, about putting away lying, stop lying. And now in verses 26 and 27. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Now here's a strange statement in verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, and neither give place to the devil. Look at this verse 26. What does he mean by be ye angry and sin not? Isn't it a sin to be angry? Well, I think the Apostle Paul here has in mind, don't lose control of yourself. And let not your indignation against others continue until you sin. You know, it's so easy to lose control. You get mad, you throw off, you lose your temper, whatever it may be. You say, well, I never do that. I just get indignant. Yes, but Paul says, don't let your indignation keep on until you begin to sin, until you do lose control. I think there's such a thing as anger. I remember how the Savior was very angry with the people of his day. He was full of indignation. You remember one day in the synagogue, there was a man there with a withered hand, and these Jewish people were looking on and see if the Lord Jesus would heal a man on the Sabbath day. And the Lord, seeing their attitude, was full of indignation because they were ready to criticize and judge him because he was going to heal a man on the Sabbath day. And he did heal the man. It's an amazing thing how a heart can be so in opposition to God, you even hate to see good things done. And then you remember in the 22nd and 23rd chapters of Matthew, especially chapter 23 of Matthew, you have where the Lord was indignant with the people of his day, and look at the language he used. Ye generation of vipers, ye whited sepulchres, you rob widows' houses of you. The scathing remarks that our Savior said. And he did this in righteousness. It was righteousness being indignant at the sinfulness and the deceit and the terribleness of the human heart. But he says here, Paul says, be angry and sin not. Don't allow your indignation against concerning things continue until you sin. In other words, don't lose control of yourself. The sin is in losing control of yourself. And then he goes on to say, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. What do you mean by that? Don't bear grudge. As someone as well said, quench all the sparks of anger. Be reconciled. If you are out with somebody, don't go on with a grudge. You know, it's a terrible thing to carry a grudge. You lose your own joy and you destroy everybody else's joy around you. These people who go around with grudges, they're unhappy. and they make everybody else unhappy. This is not Christianity. Don't you bear a grudge. Don't you bear a grudge. It's not good for you, and it's not good for anybody else. That's what he means, I think, when he says, "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Quench all the sparks of anger. Be reconciled to your brother. Even go more than halfway, brother. Go more than halfway. Don't get the idea, well, nobody's going to put anything over on me. I'm not going to be a doormat for anybody." And first thing you know, you're not only angry, but you bear a grudge, and sometimes you hold it for years. Like people say, "Well, brother, I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget you. I'll never forget what you've done." Now, that's not good. You know that. I'm glad the Lord doesn't forgive like that. We should sing a little song one time, "When God forgives, he forgets. No more he remembers our sins. When God forgives, he forgets." You remember that? Or you have it in Hebrews chapter 10. "Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more forever." You see, what we do, we not only, we kind of pat ourselves on the back by saying, "Well, I forgive you, brother, and I've forgiven you a lot of times, but believe me, I'm going to change my attitude." But you bear a grudge. And sometimes, and I'm sorry to say this, sometimes Christians will bear a grudge for years. And it's easy to do. In fact, you feel kind of self-righteous in it. Isn't that the truth? I know. Somebody did something 10, 15 years ago, and you still remember it. I say, how glad I am, how happy I am that the Lord of glory, when he forgives you and me our sins, they're gone forever. He will remember them no more. You know, I was preaching on that one time in the Central Bible Church, that their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more forever. And I was just reveling in the fact that all my sins are gone and they're gone forever. And after the meeting was over, a dear man said to me, How can God forget our sins? I can remember what I did years ago. Thank God he's forgiven me, but I remember them. And although I've been cleansed, I still remember them. How can God forget them? My friend, here again, it's the finite mind trying to fathom an infinite God. And when God says their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more forever, I take God at his word. I don't know how he does it, but when you and I get to glory, there'll never be the trace of any sin. Oh, what a wonderful salvation we have. What a wonderful Savior we have. Now, it's wonderful for us to revel in that, but what about my relationship to my friends, to my neighbors, to other Christians? You see, don't bear a grudge. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't bear a grudge, will you? I know I'm asking a hard thing, but the book says this, and God can give you the grace to be sweet and to even forget what the other fellow did to you. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And then, give no place to the devil in your life. Don't give him an opportunity to deceive you. And you see, when you bear a grudge, when you nurse your anger, you open the door for the devil to do something to you. Don't give the devil any place in your life. No opportunity to deceive you. And by the way, bearing a grudge and lying and losing control of yourself, nursing your anger along, just opens the door for the devil to bring things into your life which will rob you of your joy and of your peace, will rob you of your usefulness, and will hinder the Spirit of God from doing what he wants to do in your life. Now, these are practical things. And it may be that it kind of gets down under the skin, doesn't it? Not that it might comfort you when I say these are very common sins of God's people. These are not the outbroken sins of society, like you have in the book of Romans, or which we had in verses 17 through 19. That's the unsaved, 17 through 19. We wouldn't be filled with those sort of things about these terrible things that the unsaved men do. The old old nature, which is so corrupt. We wouldn't do those things. But, you know, we do lie, we do deceive, and we lose control of ourselves, and we keep on going until we are sinning, and then we bear grudges, and thus we open the door for Satan to come in and destroy the work of the Savior in our lives. Please don't give him any opportunity. That's why I'm pressing this thing. Don't bear a grudge. If you've got a grudge, you bring it to the Lord. Ask the Lord to forgive you and be sweet with your brother. Go and forgive your brother and let the past be past. Don't bring it up. I know in families, some families are continually in trouble because the husband or the wife was always bringing up something that was done so many years ago or some months ago, and you try to forgive each other, but you don't forget it. And you keep bringing it up, and that brings more trouble, and you're having another fight. Oh, the sad thing about Christians sometimes, even in their families, this fighting business, bearing a grudge, and remembering the past with its failures, and you throw it up to each other, and first thing you know, you've got another family row. Why don't you just put the thing under the blood of Christ? Why don't you just come to the Lord and confess it and ask the Lord to give you the grace to forget what has happened in the past? And don't throw it up to each other. Let's live that kind of a life where peace and joy and blessing can be yours. And it can be yours. It's not an impossible thing. It can be yours. And the Lord has made provision for you. And don't open the door for the devil to come in and destroy your fellowship one with another, and destroy your fellowship with other Christians, and destroy your own peace of heart and mind. Don't bear grudges, and don't lie, and don't deceive, and don't continue in your anger. Don't give any place to the devil. It's what he's taught. These are practical things. If I'm talking to you this morning, my friend, and you can't get over this, you get down before God, confess your weakness and your failure to him. Confess your sin. He's promised to forgive you, to cleanse you. Cleanse you. Not only forgive you, but cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And he will give you the grace to walk pleasing to him. No reason why you shouldn't have peace and joy and blessing in the Holy Spirit today. But let's be real with God. Let's be open before God. And he'll do it for you. And may God grant that you may have a day today of joy, of blessing, of peace, and reveling in the loveliness of your Savior. The Lord bless you now for his name's sake.